Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Gina Gardner. Now, she has quite a story to tell of overcoming adversity. Injured in a skiing accident and just had to adapt to being paralyzed and then becoming the head, what we would call a principal here in the United States, of a school, and unable to go in the classrooms because her wheelchair just wouldn't fit through the doors. And she had to develop a leadership style that would still work in that environment. And she succeeded. And she's developed that into what she calls her Enlightened Leadership Program. Now, if you missed yesterday's episode, go back and catch up. We're jumping right into this Enlightened Leadership Program right now. What type of person or business seeks you out for this Genuinely You coaching program?
Right. The leadership program is in its current form is new. It's a very new program. So we're just recruiting our first people. Okay. But in terms of the businesses that I work with and that this works for, it works for any business where the person who is running the business is feeling overstretched, or they find it difficult to get the best out of their people, or they are spending more time in their business than running, strategically working on their business. So business owners and entrepreneurs would be a big group of people for whom this will work. And I know it works because of all the organizations that I've worked with. As I say, within 10 months, more profitable, more productive. Can I give you a couple of examples?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah. So
one example, I work with a dental lab. They make teeth, not dentures, but they make crowns and, when they put them into the gum, the brain's gone.
Implants and stuff.
Implants, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And when I started working with them, they produced £500,000 worth of these teeth a year. It's a lab with 11 staff. All of the people that worked in the lab had their own jobs, and they just did their jobs, and they were paid piece time. Mm-hmm. So if you made more teeth, you got more money. On average, they started at 7 in the morning, and they often didn't finish till 7 at night. The owner, who was the person that I started working with, I now work with his now deputy and his partner and the rest of the staff, was run ragged. And one of his biggest challenges was that his time was taken up by his staff constantly interrupting and saying, what do you think of this? Or what shall I do about that? Or how's that going to work? And so I started working with him. And one of the big aha moments was to recognize that actually, instead of moaning about his staff, as he did, that he had to look to what he was doing. And so he would say to people, get on with this. But when they interrupted him, instead of saying, what do you think about this, and creating a shared set of standards, he just told them, and they hadn't learned to think for themselves.
Yeah.
And he would let something would happen, and he would let it go and let it go, and then he'd explode. So his staff didn't know whether, was this going to be a day when he was going to let things go and be very jokey, or was this going to be a day when he would explode?
Yeah.
So we did all sorts of things, but ultimately this is what's happened. His staff now are not, they work as a team. They teach, Thursdays is teaching day. So instead of only having one person who could do everything, maybe two, they have upskilled one another. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is them understanding and recognizing, is this a good job or not? What's the difference between an okay job and a good job? And what's the difference between a good job and a great job? So they don't need to go to him because they know.
Yeah, exactly.
They are now on salaries. They work together as a team. They don't start until 8. They are pretty well finished by 5:30, latest 6:00. And usually on a Friday afternoon, they go to the pub at 3 for a drink.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And last, their accounts finished in August last year. And last year, they made 890 something thousand pounds worth of teeth. Same people, less time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's one example I'd like to share.
Yeah, amen. I learned that basically from the military. The same concept, because in the military, you know, you have your commanders and your officers, but if something happens on the battlefield, they just don't say, oh, well, he's not here anymore, so I guess we'll just sit here and wait until somebody tells us what to do. No, the next person in charge takes over. They know the plan. They continue to push forward. And you develop that, as you said. And when I go and speak at business conference stuff, I use that same example.
Yeah. And it works.
Cross-training
amongst
your people, because you may have, the example I'll use is, you may have been working on this huge contract. When you land this contract, it's going to, you know, quadruple your business to levels you can't have just been dreaming about. And it's coming down to putting this presentation together, and you and your vice president of marketing, you've got this thing down. You're just putting the final touches on it. And the weekend prior, you're giving this presentation to this huge corporation on Monday morning. And Friday night, you get a call that the vice president has had a heart attack and died. Mm-hmm. He's the one who's been handling the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. But if you were doing it just like you said, with the cross training and all that, you have the assistant department head who's involved with all that. You know, that's not saying as a CEO, you're not going to jump in and, hey, let's get this done over the weekend. We'll make sure we're ready. You know, but you have someone who steps right in. I said, okay, well, this is how we've been doing it. And I know, you know, these files are located here. And, you know, but if it's like, oh, man, that sucks. I don't know. Maybe call and reschedule the appointment for 6 months from now.
I think that's absolutely true. But I think there's some other fundamentals that come out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do something, it's very easy for it to just become routine. You know, don't really unpick the why or the how, or could we make it better?
Exactly.
When you teach somebody else, you are also doing a really detailed review of why do I do this? What am I doing? Yeah. And then the discussion, particularly if you've got a learning environment, a learning culture, is why do you do it that way? Mm. And actually, is there a better way? And one of the things that's come out of this is that many of their practices have changed, because what they've recognized is if you always do what you've always done, you'd always get what you've always got.
That's right.
And so it gives an opportunity for people to review. Also, they are so much more engaged. You know, their job satisfaction has gone through the roof. They work better as a team. There's less illness because people are happier, because there's less stress, and because there's more satisfaction. So the knock-on effects of this are huge.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also say that enlightened leaders lead with integrity, compassion, and courage, and they do what's right rather mm-hmm. than what's easy. Can you explain how you help to guide them to do that?
Could I use a different example?
Sure.
I work with a hotel, and when I first started, in fact, they were one of the companies that I worked with through the Essex University to start with. And when I joined them, working with them on a monthly basis, they were £8 million in debt. They'd inherited the company from their father. They were a family-run firm.
Okay.
The hotel was run down. It was empty during the day, empty most weekends. Now, within 5 years, they had cleared $7 million of the $8 million debt. They had refurbished the whole hotel. The hotel is buzzing. It's not at the moment because it's closed down at the moment, but buzzing. Right. with morning coffee, lunchtime, afternoon tea, dinner in the evening, a 79% occupancy in their bedrooms, which anybody who's in the hotel business will tell you that's a really great occupancy. Mm-hmm. Weddings with being booked 2 and 3 years ahead.
Wow. Amen.
And that came from working with them. And initially, there had to be some really tough conversations because one of the siblings was doing all the work and was frightened to have the conversation with his siblings because he didn't want the row that he knew was going to ensue. So part of my role was to help shape that, to give both him and his siblings an opportunity to say, right, we need to look at what's fair and what's reasonable. We need to look at what are your skill set? How can we capture your skill set? And there had to be a lot of negotiation because there were a hell of a lot of jobs that none of them wanted to do.
Right, yeah.
But then even more so, that they had a dysfunctional staff and they didn't like the idea of sacking anybody. But in fact, their general manager was fleecing them dry. Mm. And so part of it was my mum used to have a saying, you know, put your big girl knickers on and you've got to, you know, grasp the nettle and do some of the things that you are a bit scary and you don't want to do. And so part of it was that they had to reorganize the staff and they had to let some go because they really weren't the right people and get used to the fact that you can have the hard conversations if you've set the thing up right. So let me give you an example. Many leaders will let stuff go. You know, there's something not right that they think, oh, I don't want to be confrontational, so I won't confront the issue.
Yep.
And then it becomes more irritating and more irritating. And then eventually there's a big row.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing what's right rather than what's easy, you're very clear about the expectations in the first instance.
Amen.
And that making sure that those are shared, explicit and understood. Then it makes it easy to have the hard conversations and to say to someone, we talked about X, Y, or Z, and the expectation was this, and you shared the expectation by talking it through with me, and you know we wrote it down, but you're not meeting it. What have you got to say about that? Now, if you listen to my voice, very neutral. There's no edge. There's no whine. There's no aggression. And then having the courage to be silent and wait for that person to respond.
Yeah, amen. That's important.
Because if you just tell somebody that's useless, you're not allowing them in any shape to take responsibility for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
If you set it up with the expectation, and if they're not meeting it, you then ask them, what do they think? Not only does it tell you whether or not they're going to deny it, and you've got to then take another tack, or they're going to burst into tears, and then you've got to handle that. But what it will tell you is much more information about how you need to handle it, and it will make it very clear to that other person that actually, you have a responsibility in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not a victim. You're not a child. Amen. There is an expectation that you're going to deliver. Now, if that's been set up right by the leader, then those conversations that were previously they would have found very difficult, and many leaders avoid them, that they can have those challenging conversations, but they can be incredibly constructive for both parties.
Yeah. And what that does, that actually empowers the individual.
Absolutely.
I would have something where I would say, okay, I need this done by such and such a time. That task been given to them. When I come back to check on it, and they would say, well, I wasn't able to, you know, or it wasn't done on time, and I'm trying to find out why. And you find out, well, you know, I'll just pull an example out of there. We'll just use finances. This financial report has to be done. Okay.
Yeah.
It has to be done by 3 p.m. So 2:30, 2:45. Okay. Where's that report at? Well, I haven't got it done yet. Well, I need it. Where's it at? Why hasn't, well, I haven't been able to find these numbers and it's just not making sense to me. Now it'd be so easy to say, did you call Jim down in accounting? Right.
Yeah.
You need to go see Jim down in accounting. Instead, you pull them in, and that's where you have to have those little roadblock, you know, check marks. Like if I gave them this project 2 weeks ago and I never followed up until today at 2:45, that's my fault. But if every Wednesday we come in and say, okay, how's this report coming? You know, we've got that project coming up. Well, I haven't been able to find these numbers. If I said, go see Jim, I just took charge of it again. Yeah. I said, well, where can we get these numbers from? You know, let's, and then, as you said, you remain silent. Let them start processing it. Well,
and initially,
maybe I can call Jim down and find it. Okay, well, why don't you go do that? Now it's their idea. They've come up with the answer, and they're going to go find out the answer. You know?
They have ownership, don't they?
Exactly. And
but it's a process. You can't suddenly expect people to take ownership if you've always done it for them.
Right. That's
and
right.
Many leaders, I think, the analogy that I use, if you've got children, when they're very little, you dress them. Mm-hmm. And there comes that time when they're learning to dress themselves and you're in a hurry. And they're putting everything on back to front. Their boots are on the wrong way, on the wrong feet. And you have a decision to make as to whether or not you're going to get them to redress themselves or if you're going to do it for them. Now, that's fine if it's the odd event. But there are many people as a parent or as a leader who consistently jump in so quickly because right. they're impatient yeah. and because right. they think they're being helpful. Mm-hmm. But they're not. What they're doing is they're creating a dependency model, and they're ultimately then the whole responsibility lies with them, and they become overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And for me, an enlightened leader, it's about how do we create self-actuating teams? Now, that doesn't mean the leader dumps the thing and disappears, not at all.
Right.
You know, the leader then has to service those people. And each person's going to need, you know, to reach their potential is going to need something different. Mm-hmm. So for me, becoming an enlightened leader is about recognizing how you can learn to read each person because yeah. they're all going to need something different. Mm-hmm. And to know that, okay, I'm going to give Jim this job, but actually before he starts, he needs a bit of training. So go and talk to Bob and he will train you in this and we'll talk in a couple of days and we'll see how you're doing. And if you feel confident, this is what I'd like you to do. So when you're talking to Jim, this is the job I have in mind. Go and talk to him and you get yourself up to speed and then we'll set you the project.
Amen.
And it makes such a difference.
Now, Gina, this is all so fascinating. I can see why you're so passionate about what you're doing.
Hey, man. Oh, I love it. Now,
you have a book out as well, Thriving, Not Surviving. Tell us about your book.
As I set up Genuinely You, what I'd recognized is whether people came to me for life coaching or couple coaching or business strategy, wherever they came from, there were five different, and I call them pathways, but there were five different themes, if you like, that we covered no matter where people came from. And when I started writing the book, people said to me, it's too general. You know, you should concentrate on happiness or concentrate on confidence. Mm-hmm. And I took the view that I needed this to be holistic. You know, if you only look at your work without looking at your home life, life's not balanced. If you focus on your home life and no thought for your working life, your life becomes very bumpy. So the five secret pathways. The first one is about belief. What you believe makes all the difference. So let me give you an example. You may be familiar with Roger Bannister.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first four-minute miler.
Mm-hmm.
What you may not know is that the medics of the time said that if you ran that fast, you would die.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't believe you could take in enough oxygen. What I find amazing is not only did he run, and if you look at the footage, there are men in white coats with oxygen bottles in the hope that they could actually resuscitate him. So the fact he ran that fast shows an amazing belief in himself.
Mm-hmm.
But within 30 days, over 30 other people yeah. had done the same.
Yep.
Why? Because yep. they believed it possible.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
Our belief about ourselves, you know, if you believe you'll fail, it's a done deal. The chances are you won't start. If you're fearful that you'll fail, that you think you might fail, you're going to make a very different set of decisions to, I'm going to succeed. My belief is I will succeed. I don't know how, but I will succeed and I'll do whatever it takes. If you believe that you're too old, too poor, too uneducated, too short, too fat, too whatever, that becomes your reality. And that came home to me hugely. And I'd like to share this story, if I may.
Okay.
You know, I'd run my school very successful. I'd done all of these roles outside school where I would travel all over the country and I'd go with my taxi driver. But after I'd finished being a principal, I wanted to train in NLP. And after I trained, all with the same organization, I'd become a master practitioner and an NLP coach. I wanted to see people using different NLP in different ways. And I went off to watch to be part of a Tony Robbins program. And many of your listeners will be familiar with Tony Robbins. I have to say, I was very cynical. I went thinking, big man, lots of hype. There'll be nothing there. It was actually very good. And in the early part of the course, he talked about another program that he was doing in California. And I dismissed it thinking, do you know what? It's too difficult. I didn't have a travel wheelchair. I'll never manage that. And so just let it go. At the end of that day, we did a fire walk. Now, the fire walk is when you walk over hot coals in your bare feet. And if you're in the right mindset, you don't get burnt.
Mm.
Now, this is 2006. I could walk very few steps unaided. All right. I'd had the spinal stimulator for just over 18 months. And I could manage to walk from my bed to my bathroom, which was 8 steps. Mm. Okay. Now, with help either side, I managed the firewalk and I was absolutely thrilled.
Mm.
And as I sat down in my chair, the guy behind me was a double amputee, no legs below the knee. He tipped himself up on his hands and he walked across hot coals in his hands.
Wow.
It was a pivotal moment for me. My beliefs about my limitations were just blown out of the water. I thought, if he can do that, I can fly to America on my own, go on the program on my own. I did it. It was great. I've done all his stuff. I've since traveled the world speaking, working, and for pleasure.
Amen.
I have no idea who that guy is, but I am forever grateful.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That's the first pathway. Second pathway, relationships. And every relationship we have with ourselves is reflected in every relationship we have with other people. So learning to love who you are, learning to appreciate that even though you may have wobbly bits that you don't like, that actually you're an amazing creation. You're God's creation. You're created in his image. Who are you not to love who you are? Now, that's not saying don't try and grow and develop as best you can, but it is intrinsically that you should know that you are enough.
Yeah.
And if you believe that and you have respect for yourself, you won't let somebody bully you. You won't be abused by anybody else. Not only because you won't put up with it, but bullies and abusers look for people that they know that they're going to be able to bully.
Yeah, that's right.
So the second pathway, all about relationships. The third pathway is about our approach to life and success. You know, what motivates us? Are we fearful of success? Are we fearful of failure? Do we self-sabotage? The fourth pathway is all about change, transition, and challenge. And, you know, we've never needed that more than we do at the moment.
Yeah, amen.
Because everything we do, everything we say is our choice. We can choose to hand over our emotional well-being to somebody else, but we have to then put up with what they give us. Or we can choose to take radical responsibility for our emotions, for our behaviors, and for our language or lack of them. And in doing so, we step into our power. Now, I need to make it very clear that when I'm talking about stepping into your power, it does not mean having dominion over somebody else.
Right.
It does not mean diminishing them. When you step into your genuine power, you actually give other people permission to step into theirs. And people who I believe who are genuinely, authentically powerful in an enlightened way want to nurture and grow the potential of other people. Mm-hmm. And they do everything they can to help those people step into their power.
Amen.
And then my last pathway is about purpose and fulfillment. You know, how many people do you know that have got all the trappings of success and they're not happy? They don't feel fulfilled.
Yep.
And, you know, helping people recognize that, well, for me, purpose is all about service. And that if you can do something to help other people, it makes all the difference. But every person has a purpose, and in finding that, they will find true fulfillment. And I think for me, you know, lots of people talk about leaving a legacy when they die. I think we leave a living legacy in every word we speak, in every action we take or not. Mm-hmm. Why not leave a wonderful legacy? And for me, the last chapter of the book is talking about how you can do that and how you have, I believe, not only the opportunity, but for me, I think you have the responsibility to do that. Amen. And if people were kinder, if people were more forgiving, more tolerant, more open to difference rather than, you know, they're different to me, therefore I'm fearful, therefore they're wrong, I think the world would be a much better place. And I think this and a pandemic is giving us the opportunity to reflect mm-hmm. and to reassess our values.
Amen. Where can people get a copy of your book?
It's on, they're all my books are on Amazon. They're also on the website, which is genuinely then dash a little hyphen and the word you.com. That's genuinely hyphen you.com. And they're all there. And Thriving Not Surviving, you can have a paperback. Mm-hmm. And it's an ebook, so whichever you fancy, you can get that. And they're on, as I say, Amazon and on genuinely-you.
If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, to get more information about your programs, or you know, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Lots of different ways. Go to the website, genuinely-you.com. You can contact me through there. Gina at genuinely-you.com is my email. You can email me. If you're interested, leadership program, then it's enlightenedleadership.co, and we're very much looking for participants. Or if anybody feels that they want to be an affiliate, please get in touch. That's enlightenedleadership.co. But you'll also find me on LinkedIn, you'll find me on Facebook. There's a group called Genuinely You, which is an open group. Come and join that. Or you can come and join the closed group, Genuinely You. We'd be very pleased to see you. But if you can't remember anything else, remember genuinely-you.com.
Amen. And folks, Gina's program is needful for the day and time which we live right now. I mean, she's gone through things and challenges most people have never and will never experience. But she's also developed the techniques and processes. She's got them down that she's perfected over the years. And she has the experience and the knowledge that she can share with you. No matter what your challenges are right now, you need to reach out to Gina. See if she can help you. I know she can, but you need to see this for yourself. Go down in the show notes right now. Get in touch with her. Order her book. I mean, if that's all you can do, just order her book and you'll start learning right away. But go to the website. Take a look around. Reach out. Ask her a question. I mean, she's very approachable. I know she'll get back with you and you'll find out that you can do this. You can make these changes to make yourself even better and to impact positively those that are around you. Gina, I just thank you for taking the time to come on the program today.
It's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Glory to God. It's been good. I learned a lot. I was taking notes. I hope you were too. But for Gina Gardner and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.